You are having a good weekend? More or less? Más or menos? Anyway, I'm having a good time because I have a little issue with my health. So I have to sit on a chair. Even sitting on a chair, I have to stand up every 5 minutes or 4 minutes when there is a little pain or something. Doctors working on it, hoping that I can fight back and get over and get better. But every sick person will think that way anyway. So just like anybody else, I'm thinking about that way. So I would like to talk today the Lama Dorje's Stillness Inside Emptiness book. So those of you have the book, you can always open and see how I talk from there. But also those of you who have book, there is a question time. Sometimes you get chance to ask question. If you read and did your homework, then you yellow mark the questions, really feel like you don't understand it. But if you don't have a book, you can get this book in a KTC Dallas in a library or is in an office there. And there are a couple of people can help you how you can get that. So I am page 21, bottom. It's called Truth of the Cessation of Suffering. Good subject, I believe. You know why? We all like to have truth of cessation of suffering. We're looking for how the suffering can end completely or totally. So I'm coming on that. Goal is being Buddhist practitioner or engage Buddha Dharma is reduce our own suffering and reduce our own suffering. Then you also like to reduce others' suffering. And because of that, it motivates you, it motivates us, Dharma practice. In order to reduce our suffering, we have homework to do. It's not only Sunday you come to listen to talk. That's not enough. Not that I'm saying come to Sunday, listen, Dharma is bad. It's good because you might hear something, you might learn something, you might remember something even afterward. Those are good reasons to be Sunday class. But the most important part is, if we want to change, if we want to improve, there is a practice involved with it. There is a put into action. Something you need to change your behavior. We need to change our way of thinking. We need to change our way of doing things. And we need to change your way of speaking things. So this is not easy. It's a difficult because when it comes to change, majority people refuse to change anything. Only what we call lucky ones or what we call very crazy ones, ready to change some things. It's not those don't change, they're not crazy. Those who don't change, they're so crazy. Changing is not in their menu. Changing is not in their plate. Changing is not in their side at all. Regardless how many times you hear, how many times they encourage, it's not going to make much difference. They say the rain water is a source of life, most precious commodity, life. But if it's a water, when rain, it lands on a huge, big piece of rock, it's not going to grow anything huge, big piece of rock on top of there. Simply, the water splashes and runs from the side down to the somewhere else. Well, this rock symbolizes certain students when it comes to receive teaching, it go like that way. So you can rain many months, it's not going to make much difference. There's no grower, maybe a little bit wet on the rock, that's just about it. And it can dry very fast. Okay. When we initially hear the first two noble truths. So I'm talking about the third noble truth, the truth of cessation of suffering. So it says that we have to, when we naturally hear the first two noble truths, we may think that this fundamental and the foundational worldview as advocated by the Buddhists is terribly dark. However, in other words, you don't see clear, you see very dark. However, there is no way we can find a solution that ends our suffering without first knowing that we are suffering, in a sense, explained by the first noble truth. If we don't know we are sick, we are not urged to buy medicine. We are not urged. We are not necessarily thinking about take any pill because we don't know we are sick or not. So that example applies. So, knowing that we are suffering, we need first knowing that we are suffering in a sense explained by the first noble truth. Even then, we still cannot find the solution unless we also know what the root cause of suffering is. We need to find the root cause of suffering. Just like a root cause of sickness, we need to find out. So the doctor can have better idea what the antidote, what the medicine is. and applies that way also. Otherwise, we are just treating symptoms instead of applying a cure, as explained by the Second Noble Truth. Therefore, once we are truly convinced of these first two noble truths, we are then ready to hear third, that there is a solution that ends all suffering completely and forever. Forever. In order to end the suffering completely, you will end the suffering from short time here and there, but then slowly more solution and less sickness. And then finally, there is no suffering forever. And a part of that no suffering forever is a seed of suffering has been removed. The cause of sickness is removed. Therefore, there is no more sickness left in your body. Therefore, you don't need any medicine. Therefore, you don't have to buy medicine. And therefore, you don't even need doctor. We call this fact the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering. So there are some seeds around here. So it says, so we call this fact, F-S-E-T, fact, the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering. Previous section on the second truth describes how to find the root of our suffering and explain that the root of suffering is always the ignorance that creates the false duality of ego and not knowing right from wrong. By the way, when we don't know right from wrong, chances a lot of mistakes. And this ignorant view then pollutes our minds with the three poisons means a very important three poisons you need to remember entire your life unless you nothing to do with them. Unless it's nothing to do with them, then you don't have to remember. Otherwise, you have to remember. Let me spell for you. So, the pollution our mind, it says that the three poisons of pollute our mind is desire attachment and aversion. Desire is wanting. Attachment is actually it has one is desire to destroy your all enemies. Attachment is you want your near and dear ones okay. Everybody else, not much in your plate. In other words, not much in your mind. You don't concern. If we say you have to love them all, you might say, that's impossible to love all beings because I don't even know how many there are. Plus, you might say, I can't handle one person. What are we talking about? Countless beings. If that is the truth, guess what? It measures your ability at this time of your life. Pollution. So it says, desire attachment, desire need to be reduced, attachment need to be reduced, and aversion need to be reduced. Aversion is angry towards somebody. And aversion is also hate somebody. And also, aversion means really you have envy somebody. You have jealous of somebody. All of those categories are consolidated into aversion. Aversion. When we take a good hard look at our suffering, the important thing for us to focus upon at this point is not how dark and painful life in samsara truly is. Rather, our focus now needs to shift to the fact that if we have discovered the root causes and conditions to any phenomenon of suffering that arises, We are also on the brink of a solution. Solution, Buddha says, there is no problem without solution, but we can find when we need sometime. There is no disease on planet without antidote, but we have very difficult to find that cure for the antidote. Very difficult to find. So the good scientists and doctors might find it many years later. By that time, it's already damaged a lot, sort of speaking. We are also on the brink of a solution. All we need to do is remove the causes and conditions that allow any phenomenon to appear, and it will no longer have a support for its apparent existence. If we remove the root cause of experience of suffering, then cessation becomes not just possible, rather suffering must disappear because there is no longer a cause for it. You need to remember, Buddhists emphasize cause and effect a lot. And causality, without cause and effect, there is no suffering, there is no punishment. Cause and effect is a very positive cause and effect, negative cause and effect. Both have something to do with the cause and effect, causality. So good experience and bad experience, there is a cause and effect involved with it. But unenlightened beings may not figure out, may not ready to believe any of those. They're thinking about, oh, I have no idea why I'm suffering. That's it. No further education or understanding. It is important for the student to understand that this solution, although surely effective, it's also gradual. Because a lot of people think, if you meet a lama one time, two times, you got everything what you need. That's not going to happen. If you meditate one time, two times, and you got the Buddhist understanding, that's not going to happen. Let me give you one hand and one tip, T-I-P, tip, one tip. I'm an old Lama. Or at least I'm very old. I'm old. Entire my life did nothing but the Dhamma. And I'm still learning. And I never proclaim myself, I know everything. I have a lot of things to learn. That give you some idea for you. So don't think you know everything. When you think that way, you become the big piece of rock that I told you earlier. Nothing sinks in, nothing really works for you. Most important things you feel like not so important. But not so important, you begin to see, this is important. I need to remember. That's case. It's available in the human realm. So, when we first realize that we must completely cleansing ourselves of all ignorance, as well as the desire, attachment, and aversion that ignorance inspired, we may feel that although we now have a solution, it is a solution that seems almost impossible to execute because of the breadth and depth of it, scope. It is best to simply focus on a beginning some practice, no matter how small or elementary. So we have to go, when we studied knowledge, we went to elementary when we are little. Buddha Dharma is very new. So don't think that you have PhD degree, because that subject is not what we're talking about here. You may have to go elementary school to learn. And I hate to tell you that, but that is the only benefit for you. Like, I'm picking up some languages that I have to study like a child, and I'm doing that too. Elementary. If that practice is maintained consistently for even a short amount of time, such as a month or more, students should begin to see at least small improvements, not only in their ability to practice, but also in the quality of their daily lives. When the practice is improved, the quality of your livelihood also side by side improved. That's because your mind gets exercised with the spiritual, and the mind rules your speech and body. Meaning, how much they suffer and how skillfully they handle that suffering. These improvements allow students to see more benefit in practice, and to gain even more benefit from continued practice. However, in the earliest stages, it is also incredibly important for any improvements a student's notice to be recognized as seasons to have greater faith and confidence in the Dharma in general. And in this third noble truth, the cessation of suffering, in particular, it is easy to see that it is indeed possible to remove the roots of suffering and find cessation when we begin Dharma practice and almost immediately begin to suffer less. Suffer less. Suffer less and a little bit more happier also means you are increasing self-esteem and reducing low self-esteem, if I may say that. It is also easy to believe confidently in the cessation of suffering if we look to the example of the many beings throughout the history who have reached the ultimate goal of liberation from their own suffering. When we have doubts about our own practice and its ability to lead us to the cessation of suffering, we should spend some time in a contemplation of all those sages that came before us. So you are not alone. Many beings have done and have succeeded, and you have to read their autobiographies and also make connection with them, basically. They were once ignorant, just like us. Buddha, he says that I was once in upon time, I was just like anybody else. I managed to liberate myself free from suffering. And if you're interested, you have to do how I did it. But that does not mean you worship for me. Nor that does not mean you pay me money later. None of those issues. Just like us. They experiencing desire. So it says that they were once ignorant, just like us. They experience a desire attachment, aversion, just like us. They began practice just like us. However, unlike us, they cleanse themselves of their ignorance and thus found cessation of their suffering. Therefore, if we stay with our practice long enough means one lifetime, two lifetimes, three lifetimes, many lifetimes, you make it. But if you fall into a sidetrack while you're doing one lifetime, two life, it takes a little longer. Because you took a wrong exit or wrong freeway or something. And that gives you idea, because everybody drives, so we know when we take wrong exit how we feel. So long enough also means before your patience run out. Most people, they do seasonally. Sometimes you have a lot of dedication, practice. Yes, yes, go, go, go. And then kind of run out. And then slow down. Then you forgot completely. Those are not good practitioners, by the way. We're talking about those are not good practitioners. Of course, none of you do that. I'm talking about people who are not here. So they don't throw a rock on me. Or a book. Or apple. Or cookie. Or something. However, unlike us, they cleansed themselves of their ignorance and thus found cessation of their suffering. Therefore, if we stay with our practice long enough, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas never give up. Yogi, yoginis, great practitioners never give up. Some of you think, I don't have that much time doing that many lifetimes. Yeah, but you have plenty of time. You will waste your time anyway. Even you don't do any of practice. You are many lifetimes reincarnating and born. You're wasting your life anyway. Whether you do the practice or don't do the practice, you're wasting anyway. So if we're going to waste anyway, do something better, productive. That's the reason the practice kicks in. So making myself clear. And that brings you why I do nothing but the Dharma, or at least I believe I'm doing nothing but the Dharma. See, I'm not saying I do 100% Dharma, nothing else. I think I like to believe that I do nothing but the Dharma. It's having each lifetime little improvement. That's in my agenda, you see. Not that I'm looking for within this life to enlightenment or big rewarding or something. None of those in my mind. Therefore, I'm peace because I'm not expecting anything. So, just like they did, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, we too may find cessation of our suffering. When we look up to the historical figures that attained the goal for which we have only begun to strive, it helps to energize ourselves and our practice so that we have the diligence and a perseverance to continue on a path and a face of obstacles. Obstacles become so obstacle that you totally lose control in the beginning. Obstacles become obstacles from time to time. You can defeat the obstacle from time to time. Obstacles defeat you. Stage two. And in stage three, obstacles, you can defeat, you can notice the obstacle for your practice, but you can defeat them more often, and obstacles don't defeat you more often. And then you get beyond the stage three, you manage to use obstacles in a life. Sickness, old age, and death. And impermanence. And other issues like any issue of obstacles in a life become a source of your strength. The source of your strength means because those obstacles are present in you, you face, and it makes your practice, makes your meditation even better than ever. That means obstacles, that life obstacles are no longer obstacles. They are actually your helpers for strength your practice. So that is the subject that we like to end right there. And its subject is called the truth of cessation of suffering. The truth of the cessation of suffering should be our goal. And goal, having goal, is a good thing because no goal, sentient beings, unenlightened beings, confused. And they're so confused, their mind is not that clear. They can't see future. They can't see past. They can't see what's going to happen tomorrow. They can't see what's coming to you. Nothing. You don't see all of those. And then the reason they can't see anything, they can't see too far. I'm talking about not eyes. Eyes too, we can't see too far. But I'm talking about mind. You can't see too far. And then the fact is that we can't see too far, we go round and around and around in the samsara. It's a noun is called will of life. Will of life. It's going, birth, old age, sickness, death, and then coming back, repeat again, again. If you're born human all the time, it's the best realm you can think of. I know you are complaining. And you're telling me human realm is that you're second tired. And you're hoping the other realms are much better, including animal realm. Because they seem like they don't have to do a lot of things we have to do. One problem, you don't know if you turn, if you reincarnate one of those realms, you will see human realm is even better than God realm. God realm that we're talking about, sixth realm, God realm is so much pleasure, happiness, that they are in a vacation. And until merit, wisdom run out. Until the wallet is completely empty, you're enjoying. Wallet means money, completely exhausted. You are treated like king and queen and God realm. Close to God realm is the one we're talking about, God realm. Within sixth realm is like a sixth realm. And you are in a vacation. And when your money ran out, now you're thinking about how I can get more money, go back to where you came from. And same analysis, that type of God realm. Asura, or demigod, has a lot of fighting. And fighting, it's day and night, and there's no peace, even though they are size. And they have other things are far more advanced than a human realm. But they do not have a time to meditate and practice because they are constantly experiencing, the word I use is a bombard. Bombard is the word. Bombard. Like a few feet away you're standing, they hit a bomb, how you experience. So that's happening all the time. Where is my meditation? You will have very difficult to focus, by the way. So, animal realm, we talk about animal realm. Animal realm have other issues going on. And one of them is fear of eating or being eaten. Or a prey or predator. Predator or prey. One is one is eating one, but the one what eating one is behind one just going to eat two. And then one, so it's a cycle. Let's put it this way. Thousands of beings, they all line up one after the other. So start with the little one, then it slowly go up and go up. And then last, it becomes only one left. And when only one left, he's not free from eating by anybody. He has enough things inside will eat up. That story ends. Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
So, here I would like to ask you, meditate. And where is your cessation part of Four Noble Truth? You heard Dharma many times, some of you, and some of you heard less, but where is the cessation of your suffering? And where is you need to work on, what part of you need to work on? Namely, is a desire you need to work on? Is attachment you need to work on? The aversion you need to work on. Which one you need to work on? You need to be observed yourself. You need to become student for yourself. You need to become teacher for yourself in order to what's your benefit, what you should do. You need to advise yourself, you need to protect yourself, and you need to train yourself, training yourself. And if you refuse to do that, basically you're saying, I'm not interested to practice, I'm just interested to little entertainment. And that's okay too. And if that is what you make you happy, that's good. Thank you. Let's meditate, everybody. Sit upright if you can. And then meditate in a way that what part of cessation you're working on. So that's the morning presentation for today, for cessation. And hopefully we will talk about the cause of suffering, or the suffering must recognize, and a cause of suffering must take out. Those subjects maybe we'll talk next Sunday if there is no problem for any schedule next Sunday. Happy to talk, continue. If you have time, come next Sunday. Here, I would like to stop and also give a little time to question answer. If you have any questions regarding this morning talk or otherwise. So I see some, maybe one or two new faces. If you are new, you have question, you can ask me, you can ask any of members of KDC here. Happy to explain you, and don't feel like a stranger, because nobody is a stranger here. Everybody is equally recognized. Everybody is equally valued, in my understanding. If that's okay with you, you're in the right place. You want a special child. You don't want to be special child, because special child needs a special attention. So therefore, you don't want to be special child. You want to be normal. That way, you want to be just like anybody else. It's called normal. And the story says, Grandma, am I special? Yes, you are very special. And the child says, Grandma, I don't want to be special. I just want to be normal. So, students, you want to be normal. That would be better. Also, question. Also, group of this particular meditation center group, and my understanding is a growing rather than shrinking or anything. It's a growing group. Part of it is a court of people. They are very dedicated people. And people say, Lama, you are very lucky. You have very good people. Yes, but remember, even a blind chicken catch worms. So I may have a lucky student, but even no matter how bad you are, there are some that says, you're good. Good Lama. I want to stay with you like that. That happened, right? So it's a blind chicken catch worms, and that will remain you no ego. But also looking for, we have core people, they were very good people, dedicated people in their practice, dedicated to the community here. And then a new person who says, I want to be part of this group, how you do it? Then you have to become a member. But also, you need to check ahead of time, make sure what we offer here, what we do here, it's valued. You inspired. You really like it. Because if you don't like it, why bother? The other thing is also, once you become member, you will also have to be initiated to go through ceremony, and then you can participate in many other practice, other type of practice we do. We do not, what I call, devil worship or something. And they will go, I will not let you do that if you If you say, Lama, teach me how to devil worship, and I'll pay you. I will say, I understand you're paying me, but I think you need to find different teacher. So, our practice is Tawa Gomba Chueba, Tawa Tungbi Yeshiri. So, our view of is luminosity, Dharmakaya, ultimate Buddha, beyond conceptualization, view. Gomba is Tawa Tungbi Yeshiri. Gomba or Sanzimi. Meditation is all negative transform into positive and continuously experiencing luminosity and joyfulness. And in Chöpa, the conduct is Chami Junjian. Chöpa conduct is Buddhist teach reduce attachment, reduce desire. Because the desire attachment is a source of suffering, and if you reduce, when your source of suffering is reduced, the chances are a little bit less suffering. When things you lose, things go away, you less suffering. That's the Chöpa Chami Junji. Chami Junji Ching means continue from beginning until liberation, enlightenment. You reduce desire attachment. Where you reach a highest level, there's nothing to reduce. Then you can say, that's it, I done it. Until then you reduce. So that's talk for this morning. Now I say I'll take question. I better take one question or else what I say is not happening. So any questions? Yes.
As a parent, I find that I desire my children to do some certain things, decent things, to show respect, have responsibility, some things I really expect them. And I feel like I have an attachment to them doing these because I want them to be respectful, decent human beings.
Mm.
How, as a parent, can I practice less desire and detachment while still being a good parent?
This level. This level one, I don't have to explain. We attach to all kinds of things. That include with the, just you name it, anything, children, parents, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. And maybe some attached to material things, all those. That's attachment. So this level, no matter how many times I will say, it's not going to change much. So the level one, they practice desire attachment and aversion. They never get out of that level one. And that level, I don't have to give advice how to raise children. Even I do, it's not going to work because each parents have their own they have their own chart is the word. Is the chart means they have their own program because they have their own karma cause and effect. Back to the talk. So, each one parents will do their best. Many parents, not necessarily what they do is the best, but for them, they can do only that much. So, therefore, best is not best for somebody else, but they do the best they can. Every parent will. And the parents are crazy sometimes. When the parents are so crazy, They do all kinds of bad things for their children. It's not the parents want to do that way. It's just under circumstances, cause and condition, make them, the parents, are so confused, so desperate. They have to do something. When they do something, it's not so good. That happened, no matter who it is. I don't have to teach how to raise children, basically, because all the living beings on the planet Earth, that nobody have training first, but when they become parent, they learn and become parent. Very good. And therefore, if I say a lot, it's not going to help much, only tire me down, number one. Level two, those who are spiritual, some understanding, but they also they have family, friend, and children, grandpa, grandma, mother, father. They're taking care of elderly ones. And we are all, the families, sooner or later they get sick, sooner or later they get old, sooner or later they are dying, including yourself. So, level two is if you can bring mundane activities that you have, what you're doing in the level one, now you're on the level two. So when you reach a level two, mundane activities like taking care of parents, children, or maybe a lot of difficulty teenagers dealing with, or difficult husband dealing, difficult wife dealing with. It can be either way. And all of those issues, you're in conjunction with the Dharma practice and thinking somehow spiritual elements you bring into that. I have to do good things for these people because that's part of my practice. So if you can do that, you are level two, and therefore your desire attachment, negative side of it's reduced, positive side of desire attachment may be increased in a level two. Level three, then you are in a more or less more control with the desire attachment. Concerns are more you can control. In fact, most part of your time is more Dharma practice. Regardless you're sitting, talking, regardless you're doing things, it's always a practice more and more. It's a Dharma practice more, and very little no practice, but most time all practice, like that level. Beyond that, then you perfect it with the practice. So it's whatever you are, it's very difficult to generalize the group. One level you have to do. They're not one level. They all have different levels. Their karma is different. Their understanding is different. Their suffering is different. It's like that. So is that answer your question, sort of speaking? Well, I make them at three different levels. So think about that. Okay. Last question. Who has a question?
Can you speak more about how aversion arises from jealousy, envy?
It's basically all of those arise from the aversion rises from root is ego. And ego is ego clinging. ego clinging. Ego is one thing, clinging is the other thing, but ego clinging. And where this ego rises, ignorance. And so ignorance is nothing there, but we believe there is something. As long as you believe there is a something, it looks like for you there is something. That's how ego manifests.
Yeah, good question.
Thank you, Rinpoche. Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Sarva Mangalam.
Now that means auspicious your life. And we all projected that to each other. And we project that every time to all living beings who are not here. Part of it is a practice. And a part of it is a good way to reach out everybody when you're projecting positive things. We don't see every day. Many of you I see once a month. Many of you I see once a week if you are really dedicated, but other than that, most I can't see even a 2-3 months one like that. So projecting Sarva Mangalam means auspicious in your life. I command, I demand, I order you have auspicious life, means good life.